Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Yeah, yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon, you'll see nothing. All you hear's a huff a puff and a expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome once again to the Wolf and Owl. You're not going to believe this. Literally, as I start the podcast, the swan has walked in with four white iced finger buns for her husband, the owl.
Oh, wow.
What an incredible woman. Thank you.
White ice finger buns for breakfast.
I know.
Like, guys, just to shout out, we are recording this at 5 to 9 on a Monday morning. Like, I love you to death, Rom.
Well, but it turns out the swan loves me to death as well. And she's trying to fucking bring it on quicker.
I know. Yeah. You're like a Christmas turkey.
She's asked me if I want to have them now or deep fry. She wants me to deep fry them first.
Are you going to have them for breakfast?
No, I'm fucking not having them. I've had a breakfast. Thank you.
What did you have, boy?
I had a strawberry.
I've never known what you...
What? Go on.
What you have for breakfast? I've never known what you eat for breakfast most.
No, don't do this, because people start accusing you of us not being friends again.
Oh, yeah, look, yeah. I know.
Just wondering if you two actually know each other, if you're not sure what each other has for breakfast.
I'm suspicious that Wolf and I aren't friends, because Tom doesn't know when Robert cuts his toenails.
How often do you cut your toenails?
I cut them yesterday. It's blissful, man. Mm. Nice.
This is pretty disgusting, what I'm about to say. It's not disgusting, but it's a bit embarrassing. There have been occasions where filming for League of Their Own, and I'm talking about a couple of occasions, not all the time. There have been occasions where filming for League of Their Own or Road Trip or whatever, we've had to take our socks off, and I've realised that I'm sort of talonning a bit.
Mate, it's so bad. This is weird that we're getting onto this, because I've actually had a bit of trolling this week on my toenails. I put a picture up of, like, Saturday I was pretty unwell. I was fucking just clearing out this cold. I'm through it now. I feel better for it. Anyway, I'm watching the Ryder Cup with my dog. He's really into Team America, even though he's German.
And he managed to pack in a lot of really sad shit in quite a short time there.
I take a picture of him watching the Ryder Cup, leaning on my leg, right? And my toe was in shot. I've never had so much abuse on Instagram. Instagram's usually a very social, fun
place.
People having a dig at my toe, saying how disgusting my toe was.
In what way? What was disgusting about your toe?
Some people say toe shouldn't look like that. Some people say you need to get that fucking toe looked at. It's made me sick. A lot of is that a toe or a head? Some of them were quite funny, don't get me wrong, and that's cool. But it did make me really conscious about my toes. So, and also, genuinely, I looked at the picture. My toenail was—that's why I cut them yesterday. It was mega long. Right. It was tallying in.
So did you?
It looked like if I was in prison, I could use it as a shank.
Yeah,
Like, it was that long.
If you're flexible enough, that could be a little coke shovel.
Imagine fucking how low your life becomes when you're sniffing coke off your fucking toe. Big, disgusting toe.
That's like the absolute low point in someone's autobiography. I knew I had to make a change as I dipped my toe into the plastic bag and lifted it yoga style.
I'd become flexible enough. I'd push myself. My flexibility was off the fucking chart. As I sniffed off my cheat, as I pulled off my sock.
Not only was it useful for street vibe, but it also enabled me to shovel coke from my foot straight into my snooter.
Amongst my cocaine-fueled peers, I'd become something of a legend. The man who could incorporate his body into a style where I could sniff cocaine off my big toe.
I started becoming known in North London as Toe Shovel, and that name stuck.
That's why the book's called this. You know, the nail next to your big toe, which I always feel a bit sorry for, that's the one that I find quite a funny toenail to cut. It's quite soft compared to the others.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you asked anyone else, before you declared this as a generalised observation, have you spoken to anyone else about your second toenail being a bit soft?
No, this is me and you.
No, I know.
You're the only person
that
I ever talk to these sort of things about.
Sure, but I mean, it's just the confidence with which you, based on your own experience of your one, or two, sorry, because you've got 2 feet, haven't you, still? Of your
until the gout and the fucking diabetes really.
Until your lifestyle catches up with her. But you've delivered that as a general observation about everyone's toes.
Well, look, when I've seen other people's toenails in the swimming pool and I've been up close to them, I've noticed that there is
some poor bastard doing the front crawling. It's like, fucking hell, I can feel. What's that behind me? It's just you trying to get a fucking glimpse of their toenails. Don't mind me, mate.
Right. When you're in the showers and you'll look down and you'll see sort of a toenail and you'll go, oh, that one looks more, it doesn't have the density that some of the other toenails have.
I don't look at anything apart from myself when I'm in the gym showers. Let me just say that. If they sold shower blinkers, I'd fucking buy them, right?
Yeah, but would you be more worried about someone seeing you than looking at other people?
I don't want to.
But what do you feel about other, like, If you're in a world, right, and like, so someone came to you, knocked on your door, and went, "Hi, Rom, I'm the shower king."
I'm the shower king.
Yeah. Right. I'm the shower king.
Right.
Like, I'm the king of showers and stuff.
No, I get it. I know what a king is. Go on.
I can basically make it so in the showers, like, you can see everyone, but no one can see you.
Yeah.
Or you can't see anyone else, but everyone can see you. Which one do you want?
Okay. It's actually a very good question. So either everyone can see me, but I can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can see me.
So just to explain that, like, in your eyes, even though there's other people in there, you can't see them. So it'd be like no one else.
But can I see everything else in the shower? Like, I can make my way.
Yeah.
So I can make my way to the shower, but as far as I'm concerned, all the other cubicles look empty.
Yeah. But there'd probably be like a sort of, like, if you got near them, there'd be like a buzzer or something to say, but you wouldn't be able to see them or touch them.
Okay. And then the other option is I can see them.
Yeah.
But I'm completely invisible.
Yeah.
Do I see them any more than I normally see them?
No, I mean, they basically, it's like they're invisible or they're there. You're invisible and they're not there. Well, do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I mean, what you've said is the opposite of the thing, but...
No, right. Either you're there and they're not, or they're there and you're not.
I'd rather not be. I'd rather not be there.
So you'd be invisible, but you'd have to look at all of them.
Hold on. Now you've changed it. So, what do you mean I have to look at them? Are you saying that I have to examine them? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying you examine them, but like... You would be able to see,
them. But then, as soon as I go, I'd do that. You go, so you have to look at them and examine them closer and stare at them. You totally switched it up.
No, because you turn around to me, right, and you were like, oh yeah, I don't look at anything. I pretend no one else is there. I'm in my own little world.
Oh my God. You're such a prick. You are such a prick. Anyway, go on.
Right. But then you quickly rebuffed and you were like, actually, I'd much rather that they can't see me.
You'll get, but you guys can't see this. He's doing all these camp flourishes with his hands and stuff as he's talking. Listen, I'd rather not be seen. But what the point I'm making is, when I go into the shower, I wouldn't see anybody's toes or toenails because I don't look. It's literally, I go to the shower like it's my first day in prison. Do you know what I mean? Like, just fucking eyes down.
I try not to look, but sometimes I'm more like, you know, I'll look towards the ground.
Yeah.
So the thing I see is usually the toenails or the feet.
Yeah. But in the next, you're looking across then, aren't you?
Yeah, but I'm talking about shower, old school. Look, 90% of showers now have cubicles. I don't know if that's a law or if that's just something that's happened just like because of dignity or whatever. But in the old days when showers were more open, like football showers and stuff, there was no cubicles, mate, and you're in there.
I would say, apart from my complete lack of ability and physicality and skill and any of that, and mental sort of toughness or whatever, apart from all that, one of the main reasons I couldn't do sports is because of that kind of shower and bathroom.
Yeah. When I used to play for a football team a long time ago, there used to be one guy who used to turn up. He never used to play, but he used to shower with everyone afterwards. He used to basically just come for the shower.
Oh, my God. Do you know what? I'm sort of sad about this. I'm sad about the story, but also quite pleased that you've learned enough to not give his full name.
No, I'm not going to give his full name. But he used to basically turn up, look after other people's things, and like jump in it, like just get a shower after with everyone.
Okay. All right.
And he never stole anything to his credit.
Yeah, to his credit, yeah. Do you cut your toenails after the shower?
Yesterday I didn't. I went in dry.
Because it's much easier, isn't it? Like, infinitely easier.
Yeah. Do your... toenails, I was looking at them yesterday, had a bit of a yellow twinge to them.
Twinge?
Like a yellow sort of like... Not like yellow, but like... I'm like, oh, they don't look as see-through as they should do, you know?
Yeah. Tinge.
Yeah, like a... tinge. And also like a sepia for sort of film on them, you know?
Yeah. I've had that in the past. I haven't had that so much recently. I don't know why it... Let me just look this up. I want to know...
It would be nice, actually, if there's anyone out there who does pedicures to get in touch, like a really nice pedicure.
Yeah, why do toenails sometimes go yellow? Why are...
It'd be nice to sort of think, if there's anyone out there who... Get in touch if there's any foot doctors. Me and Romish could come as a sort of like little...
Oh, Tom.
For now,
Tom,
sort of Tom, like Tom, field trip.
Tom,
what?
Tom.
What?
Tom.
Oh, my God. I do not like it when you say that. Oh, God. What?
When toenails turn yellow, is it yellow?
Yellowish. It's got a yellow tinge to it, yeah.
Okay. They're not bright yellow, though. Let me show you. They're not like that, are they?
Oh, no, they're not like that. Jesus Christ, man. They're like, imagine if you can, taking a picture of my feet, right?
Yeah.
They look a little bit like I've got like the New York filter from Instagram on them.
It's aging.
Aging?
Yeah.
So, oh, wow.
That's what it says. If they go super yellow, then it's a fungal infection. That's why I showed you that photo.
Have you ever had
if it's just a tinge?
Have you had a fungal infection? I had trench foot once. It's horrible.
How did you get it?
When I used to do the festivals, like working at festivals.
And then what happens? What does trench foot look like?
Mate, it was honestly so sore. It was like awful, itchy, soreness. I had to change, and the smell. I had to change socks like four times a day at one point.
Really?
Yeah, it was barbaric, man. It's barbaric.
How long did it take to get rid of it?
Quite a while, probably about a year and a half, about 18 months.
Have you changing your socks four times a day?
No, not all the time for four times a day. It was that eventually sort of like, it was down to two. Well, but it went three, two, then
no, okay,
one.
Yeah, no, fine, yeah, thanks. And now, what are you like? You're back to once a week, are you now?
Hey! Hey! Is back.
Oh, my God. This is why this guy's doing all the panel shows. He's lightning quick.
Try getting that one past Rob Brydon. He'd absolutely kill you.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So speaking of like being shamed online, do you know what happened to me?
Go on, mate.
So I did Liga. We did this Olympic canoeing in A League of Their Own. And we had
Denise
to wear...
Was it Denise Richards?
Denise Lewis.
Oh, Denise. Who's Denise Richards?
She's an actress.
She's the actress. Yeah. She'd have actually been good on League of Their Own.
She would have been. I don't know how good she would have been at Olympic canoeing. But anyway, I had to wear a wetsuit, which, as you know, are not the most flattering. Yeah. Somebody sent a message to me with a picture of me laying on the canoe in my wetsuit next to a picture of Danny DeVito's penguin from Batman.
Oh, man, that's not nice.
It was a double whammy for me because, one, I was kind of insulted, and, two, I couldn't help noticing a similarity in physique.
Mate, so it's the worst thing when people do that. Did I tell you about the picture someone sent me? I'll send you the picture because it is actually quite funny. Someone sent me a picture of a load of guys getting caught cottaging in America, right? There's one guy on his knee sucking another guy's dick.
Yeah.
And there's a bear in the background, right? The guy sucking the guy's... Yeah. I'll send you the picture to put up on your Instagram. Right?
I'm not going to put a picture up on our Instagram of a guy sucking someone off.
But a guy sucking the other guy's dick literally looked like me so much. It was, you know, like... I had to fucking click my brain and go...
Someone's dick?
No, this is my school of thought, right? That wasn't even my first bit of thinking. I was like, have I ever been to that part of America? And I've never been that close to a bear. Oh, and I've never sucked a dick. The three things that went through my head. And also, I have been that close to a bear, but in like a zoo kind of vibe.
Well, hold on, that was a staged photo, was it?
No, I wasn't in the photo.
I'm asking from the, looking at
no,
the
no, I,
was it a
mate,
real was it a real
know.
Bear?
I think so.
How could he comfortably suck someone off to completion in front of a live bear?
Well, some people are into that shit, man. It's like, you know, me and you, it's probably not our vibes, but some people like fucking here it is. Can you see that?
It really does look like you.
Yeah. He's actually sucking two dicks.
It does look like you.
And the two bears. And a bear
that photo is incredible.
I know, yeah.
Why?
He's got like not just my face, but he's got my mannerisms as well.
So just to describe it to you guys, because the photo looks slightly different to what I thought. I mean, the key points are the same. There is a bear and a dick being sucked, and the guy sucking the dick does look like the wolf. But they're sort of in the woods.
Yeah,
and there's two blokes.
Yeah,
one bloke. It's sort of like best way to describe it is a two person queue. One bloke is having his dick sucked, and another bloke is waiting to have his dick sucked.
What I like is the guy waiting to turn around to the bear and go, "Mate, come on, please." Yeah, there's a queue.
Yeah, unless you want to go on this. I just don't understand. You know what I find so? How the fuck did that photo happen?
Yeah, but how did it happen? But also, who found that picture? Not just one person. I got sent that four or five times on Twitter and about five, six times on Instagram of people going, "Oh, have you been in America?" Yeah. I get a lot of those pictures of people.
I get loads of pictures of people saying that that I look like sort of a brown bloke with beard and glasses.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it happens a lot. There's some guy from some American reality show that I look just like. And then,
oh, really?
Forged or something. And then, so I get that photo sent to me a lot. There's a photo of George Lucas where I get sent that one. There's a one of Smokey Robinson and the Miracles.
Smokey Robinson's a sick looking. Actually, you remind me of it.
No, it wasn't him. It was one of the other. It wasn't Smokey Robinson.
Oh, right. Yeah. I was going to say, you don't really look like him, but you've got his vibe. Like, he's very cool and chilled. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So just
I love the way you were so cocky with that, by the way. That's the cockiest the hour's ever been.
There's what are you talking about?
I'm not really like the Smokey Robinson or like even a little bit of denial. You just looked straight down the camera, licked your lips, and went, yeah, yeah.
I didn't lick my lips.
Do you moisture your lips?
Do I moisturise my lips?
Yeah.
No, but I do on from time to time. I would say one of my biggest faux pas in terms of grooming is dry lips.
Yeah, dry lips are really bad. I've got that.
Why do you keep licking your lips now? You're going to make it worse.
Yeah, no, I've just got... Yeah, I'm just a bit...
What do you use on your lips?
Just saliva.
Saliva?
Yeah, just lick them a lot. Keep them moist. Sometimes I do that so people can't see.
I'm slightly nervous about something because over the last minute, you've licked your lips a lot. And listen, I am hoping beyond hope that is because that's what we're talking about. Because what I'm now worried about is that this is something you do all the time and I haven't yet noticed it.
No, I don't do it all the time.
You know when you notice something about somebody and then that never fucking goes away. Like, I really am hoping
no
that you have not just been broken for me, because if that's if you lick your lips all the time, I don't. I think this might be fucking over.
No.
Or we'll have to do the podcast without video on. Because
yeah, no. I don't do it all the time. You know what it is? It's just I've got a little bit of that sort of like white stuff. Yeah.
Oh my God, that was absolutely disgusting. What are you doing? Fucking hell.
How often you must lick your lips quite a lot, though.
Yeah, I reckon about 35. I've got no fucking idea how much I lick my lips. I don't know. I don't think I do lick my lips.
I've always noticed that they're quite moist.
Okay, first of all, licking your lips dries them out.
Does it?
Yeah, that's the first thing.
Yeah, because my lips feel really dry now.
Yeah, so you do lick your lips a lot.
You know what I need to do is to start Vaseline in them.
And apparently that makes it worse as well.
Does it?
I don't know. I Vaseline my lips on occasion. Like, not only on special occasions when I'm like, I don't know, when I'm sucking someone off in front of a bear. No, but on occasion I have been like, I have looked in the mirror and gone, fucking hell, is that what my lips would look like all day? But then anytime I like do something about it, like on the, sometimes, you know, you get people, basically what I'm trying to waffle my way to is there seems to be no consensus on how you look after your lips. Okay?
No.
Because whenever you have like, you know, the little flat kind of tins of different flavour Vaseline, whatever. Whenever you get one of those out in front of someone, they'll go, you're just drying your lips out doing that. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Am I?
Yeah.
So actually, from what I've heard, from what we've managed to glean, it's dehydration that dries your lips out.
Let me tell you something as well, and you know, probably sort of know, lips are the one thing that don't have a proper specialist.
What do you mean?
Like, every other part of your body has a specialist. Like, there's a, right, so let's start from the bottom. There's a foot specialist, there's probably a toe specialist. Then you've got people who like investigate legs, knees, willies, bums, right? Stomachs.
Do you know what's so tragic about that is that you had to stop yourself from laughing after saying willies and bums?
Hearts, stomachs, intestines, right, arms, armpits, necks, right, everywhere, ears, eyes, noses, heads, brains, right, all of that has got specialists. I've never met a lip specialist.
Well, there is no ear specialist, is there?
Yeah, there is, mate. Ear specialist.
No, ear, nose and throat.
I went to see a proper ear specialist. Well, she ear, nose and throat, but ears were her speciality. She knew so much about ears. It was actually pretty
amazing.
Did
she tell you that ears were her speciality? Or
yeah, she said ears were her favourite.
Because she knew more about ears than you did, which I assume is like three things.
No, she knew so much about ears. It was actually mind-blowing. I was fascinated with her stories of ears. And I actually just said to her afterwards, you know what? I wish there were more people in the world like you.
Oh, you didn't say that, did you?
Yeah. No, I love people who take something so small. I mean, the ears are like one of the top five smallest parts of your body, right?
One of the top five. What a fucking nothing thing to say. Ears are one of the top five smallest things on your body.
Right. She's taking them at school one day.
Why are you making that statement, turning that statement into a BuzzFeed list? Why can't you just say ears are one of the smallest things in your body? Why can't you just say that? One of the top five things that's the smallest thing on your body.
Right. When she's, you've got to think, right, this woman, right, put this in your head, right? Please think about it, right? Oh, not now, maybe at some point. Right, at some point during her schooling, or maybe even when she went to university, she's seen an ear that she's just gone, I'm going to make that, right? I'm going to make that the thing that I love and the thing that I work on. And she's fucking done it, man. She's fucking smashed it. And now probably is one of the best ear people in the world. Like, she knows so much about ears.
There's so many things that you've assumed in that. Do you understand why what you've just said, it has so many assumptions in it? You know that.
In what sense?
Okay, well, first of all, you're assuming that that was her ambition to specialise in ears. And that was her ultimate ambition, right? It might have been that she wanted to do something else and then she just sort of fell into ears. Because the thing that she
I've
really...
I've got a picture in my head of her falling into a big ear.
I thought you would. You're in a very childish mood today, aren't you?
Yeah, I do feel childish. It's good. Mm.
And then the other thing is the obvious one is the fact that you're saying she's one of the best ear people in the world. How many ear people have you seen?
Right. It would stagger me and actually bedazzle me if I was to meet anyone else who knew more about it.
Okay, fine, fine. You being staggered, I don't think is as rare as you seem to think it is. You being bedazzled, okay? You're also a man who'd be bedazzled if a meal came with more chips than he was expecting. So... I should imagine you at a restaurant, at a pub on a Sunday, ordering your food, big pile of chips. You just sit back, just move your chair back from the table. Well, hello. Oh, my okay. God.
Sorry, can I see the chef?
Do you know what? Can I just say something? I am stunned by that. I'm literally, ask my darling wife here. I very rarely speechless, aren't I?
Yeah, he's never speechless. Where's the chef? Let me see him at once. Hello, mate. Big Tom Davis. I've just been out there. It's ordered the fish and chip supper in an ironic way for Sunday lunch. The amount of chips on that plate.
Yeah.
Oh,
and sorry. served on a shovel head, by the way. Lovely little touch.
And going and sitting down and hearing the manager shouting in the kitchen, we're going to go out of business if you keep putting that many chips on a plate.
What do you think of people serving food on things that aren't plates, by the way?
Oh, I'm not a fan of it.
Have we talked about
it? I'm not a fan of it.
You're not a fan of it?
No. I think it absolutely, completely ridicules the inventor of the plate.
Oh, Christ. Do you know what? For a moment there, I thought there might be a brief section of this podcast where we actually agreed on something, and then you pulled a fucking insane reason out your ass.
Why?
Why do you give a shit about the inventor of the plate?
This is the difference between me and you. I respect things and people, right? Like, you're so cool and edgy sitting there in your fucking board shorts and your fucking T-shirt, right? You got to fucking think, right? Someone at some point, right? Yeah, he didn't invent fire, or he didn't invent fucking spears, and he didn't invent whatever, like, right? But at some point, people were eating food out of their hands or eat off the dirt on the floor. And let's call this guy Lionel or Mark, right? He's basically just turned around and gone, guys, look, it's not
funny,
much.
It's funny you say that. I do think around the time the plate was invented, Lionel and Mark would have been probably the two most popular names. You're right. Carry on.
He's probably, like, found a tree, and they're all, like, off killing shit and fucking starting fires and building shelters. And everyone's probably fucking got the zig with Mark, and they're probably turning around and, or Lionel and going, what's he fucking up to? He's, like, never fucking doing any old graph. He annoys the life out of me, right? And then one day he just comes over and he's got someone's cut down a tree and he's used some of that tree and just shaped it into a plate. He's come over and gone, here we go. And they're like, what the fuck is that? It's like, put your food on it and eat it. So suddenly he puts a selection of like food and whatever, meat, potatoes, bit of veg.
has he also invented the roast dinner?
He puts it on the plate. And yeah. Someone goes, oh my God, fucking hell, like this food tastes so nice. And he says, because we're not eating it out of the floor or off the floor. We're eating it out of the floor because it's vegetables. But enjoy it, right? And then he just makes loads of other plates. Before you know it, he's fucking knocking up a bowl, different size plates. But, you know, he does that. And then, you know, he's been besmirched because the person who invented the shovel or fucking a surfboard is now fucking also fucking we're having food off those.
That's your biggest issue with it?
Yeah, it's a bit that annoys me because it's someone's thought and care has been absolutely... Yeah, imagine, right, okay, imagine if we started telling the time with our shoes. Do you know what I mean? It'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it?
I don't think it's quite the same thing, but yeah. But do you not think it just looks a bit wanky?
Yeah, I mean,
But it's not uncommon to receive your chips in a mug now, is it? What do you think
again,
about that?
It's not what it's for. It's like a pint of prawns. What a stupid thing.
You don't like that?
No. I like the chip. I like shit on where it's meant to be. Also, the thing that grinds my gears, if we're going to get into it, is stop putting fucking green parsley and fucking basil and fucking shrubs on this stuff. It's the thing that pisses me off more than it. If I've ordered a fry-up, I don't want to see any green on that plate.
No, there's no green on a fry-up.
Mate, people put fucking those little fucking like leaves and shit on top of it.
What
to make it look better. Now they just get in the way. Mate, go and order a fry up. Just take Lisa with you. Order Lisa a fry up, right? 90% of places now do this. And they do what, it for
a sprig. Are you talking about a sprig of parsley?
Or a sprig of herbs or fucking leaves or whatever. And they put it on a fry up. I'm like, I don't want to see that shit. It's got no place on
there. I have never seen that, ever.
Mate, I will take a picture. Actually, people, please, if you're going out for a fry up this week, take a picture.
Do not do this. But just if you do see that, let me know, please, because I've never. Actually, I've got to say though, sprig of parsley on a thing. I thought that was pretty passé. Now I thought that was like dumb.
No, this is. I don't even know what herb it is. It's like basically like
chopped herbs.
A stupid version of rocket. Like it's just, and also rocket, by the way, can fuck off. I hate rocket.
What are you talking about? It's like the best leaf, one of the best leaves.
You're joking.
I'm not. Peppery.
I've never, ever eaten rocket and not nearly choked to death.
Okay, well, that's more to do with how quickly you eat things, isn't it? I don't think rocket can be blamed.
Mate, actually, if we've got any, experts, how many people die a year of, like, choking to death on rocket? Like, if I go out for a meal and there's rocket on someone's plate, I would spend the whole meal on edge thinking at some point I might have to save this person's life.
Yeah.
By even giving the Heimlich remover.
The Heimlich remover? What's that? Yeah. When you see somebody else doing the Heimlich maneuver and then you get rid of them?
It's called the Heimlich maneuver, right? Remover or maneuver?
You said remover.
Yeah, because you're... Yeah, mate, look, it's the same thing. You know what I'm talking about, right? I only get each one of the words right for you to get it, right? Or you've got to put your hand in their throat and pull the rocket out.
Yeah.
So if you were choking on it, I would have to just grab you, throw you back.
Let me tell you something. If I'm choking on it and it's just you and me, just let me die.
Because you
are not going to be able to get that fucking paw of yours down my throat to get the rocket out. Just let me go.
Mate, I would not be able, especially my fucking best bud. I'd literally throw you to the table, pull open your mouth with one hand and put my left hand in your mouth and fucking pull the rocket out.
When's the last time you ate rocket?
Probably 2008, 2009, when it first came out.
When it first came out? Then what happened? You nearly choked to death?
Yeah, and I was like, and now someone puts it on my plate, I'm like, I like you, thank you for inviting me here, but that needs to fucking go.
Okay.
Because you know when you're eating quickly and a little bit of it stuck to a bit of chicken or a beef burger, right? And you whoop and put it in your mouth and then you're like, oh, fuck, there's rocket on this.
Yeah. I don't react like that, but
The trouble with rocket is like it wants to be involved all the time, even if you don't want it to be involved.
Oh, I see what you mean. It's quite clingy, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, you do make sense.
Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Okay, look, shall we get on with some emails, Tommy?
Let's do it, baby.
Okay. Our first email is from the Red Panda.
Wow. Is it? I didn't even know there was Red Pandas.
Yeah, they're quite rare. I mean, all pandas are rare, aren't they? Okay. Hi, Wolf Owl and Swan.
Yeah.
Loving the podcast each week and out of the bonus episodes too. I'm Red Panda. I'm Red Panda and I'm an A&E nurse and work long hours. So when I get home, I want to go straight to bed after a busy shift. I need some advice on how to approach my neighbours upstairs about a personal subject on their behalf. They seem to love having sex, good on them, When I'm trying to get to sleep after a busy day, it's frustrating, especially because they're very noisy. It sounds like she's not enjoying it, and she's making what sounds like fake noises. How do I confront them about the issue to help me get better sleep and not to feel awkward trying not to listen? And also to maybe help their sex life. Keep up the good work, and thank you for keeping a smile on my face. Thanks, Red Panda. Tom, how noisy are you when you have sex?
I'm not that noisy. Yeah. I'm always quite conscious of the surroundings. I'm not. I always think it's not a man's job to be too noisy.
No.
We used to live in it. Me and Catherine used to live in a flat, and the guy below us, or above us, sorry, he used to be very noisy in the sex. You know, his sex was very noisy.
I find it, men being noisy doing sex is... Listen, to each their own. And if you are a noisy lovemaker, great, good for you. It's not as common, is it?
No. Not that you have to be silent, but I think like...
I'll tell you what I do. I do find slightly embarrassing. It's sort of every now and again, I'll let out... every now and again, I'll let out a sign that sort of suggests that the cardio element of this is getting to me a bit. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of...
Sometimes feel a little lightheaded after. Had to have a can of Coke to get your blood sugar up.
Sorry, Ramesh, have you got an energy gel there? Yeah, just...
Why are you having Smarties? Feel a bit weak.
But yeah, apart from that, I'm fairly quiet. I would say disturbingly so.
We had a neighbour who was very loud. And actually, weirdly, similar to this woman, his... partner never sort of sounded like she was particularly enjoying it.
Right.
But also he was, I think in my mind, he was a psychopath. And it still absolutely astounds me that I've still not seen him on the news as some sort of like fucking weird. He was like a proper weird geezer. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like an accident waiting to happen kind of vibe. Sure. I found him actually quite terrifying to be around. He never wore a top. And he actually wore cycling shorts probably as late as November, even though I don't think he even had a bike. So he was a fucking weird geezer, very weird guy. But I never went up to him and said, look, your lovemaking's quite loud. You know, can you just keep it on the down low? Because I think it's a very awkward conversation to have. I would suggest, because I think there's no going back once you've sort of made that thing. Once you've sort of said that to someone, there's many people who are going to go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. We'll try and keep it down, right? People will, I think, react pretty negatively to that as being a thing, you know.
Well, I think if they're comfortable enough to be having noisy sex, they probably feel like it's their right. And then you sort of end up looking like a bit of a prude, don't you, if you go.
Yeah, I think I would invest in some seriously good earbuds, or there's a thing called a power mask, which is incredible, which is a bit of kit that you can link to your phone, and it plays like white noise during when you're sleeping, and it does cut out any sounds of anything else. So that's a pretty good thing.
How do you feel about the fact that, by the way, I know that you use a power mask because I saw you shamelessly fucking plugging it on your Instagram. How do you feel about the fact that these people are sort of arguably being quite inconsiderate?
I think that mate, I've got no time for them, but in my experience of these sort of, this sort of behaviour, they're not going to think it's a problem ever. They'll think you're the problem. There's no way in the world that they're that fucking loud and that fucking insensitive to other people around them, right, that they're then going to go, oh, actually, you know what, God, maybe we were in the wrong. They're going to think that you know, the Red Panda. And let me shout, by the way, out the Red Panda, A&E nurse, someone that we should, someone that people should be considerate of, frontliner. If anything, these people should be disgusted themselves. If actually, you know what, I mean, this might be the wrong way of going about it. I'd probably start dropping little hints to people around, other neighbours. So, no, have you heard number 54 making love? Getting loud, isn't it? I'm working for the NHS.
Sort of slagging off behind their back.
Yeah. Or the other thing to do is just write a note under the door and anonymously put it under.
That's a great shout. Here we go.
Yeah.
This is a great shout. What would the note say?
Fucking keep it down with the lovemaking.
Yeah, keep it down with the lovemaking. And by the way, nobody believes that she's enjoying it.
Yeah. Like that. Fucking straight. Well, that's probably more harsh than I'd have gone with, but I would actually say that's a good way of doing it.
Well, you sort of want to embarrass them into stopping.
But do not let them catch you put a note under their door, because there's no going back. That's the worst.
Well, I would say one of the most obvious things you've ever said, and that is and that is a hotly contested position, by the way.
I think keep your eyes open, wait for them both to go out, right? Keep an eye on the front door of the blocks you're in. Wait for them to go out and then just sneak up there as quietly as you can. And also just find out, probably do a little bit of digging, find out if they're close to the neighbours, you know, opposite or next door.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good
just
shout.
To see what, really you know. We're actually sort of...
Last thing you want is to be grassed up.
Yeah, you don't want to be... It's almost like you'd be in The Wire, wouldn't it? You know, you'd be like McNulty out of The Wire. You've got to sort of do a breakdown of like how everyone works and stuff.
Mm.
And then maybe put notes for other people's doors just saying, has anyone heard the lovemaking? Is it annoying? You know, start a WhatsApp group behind their backs.
Yeah, this feels like a lot of work.
Yeah, but, you know... Yeah, I mean, she's written into the show, so this is the most we
just
can
try,
do. For
just
her.
Try the note.
Yeah.
Just try the note and see how you get.
And let us know how you get in. Maybe do a picture of you in the note and send it into the podcast.
Please don't do that. But just let us know how you get on. Next email. This is from. Okay, this is quite difficult. I'm sort of almost surprised that the Swans picked this because this feels like quite. Actually, no. Well. I'll see what you think. Dear Tom, Rom and the lovely Swan, my parents' cat was put down after a long illness 2 weeks ago. I know. When we visit them next, my two-year-old daughter would immediately ask where Gizmo is. Do we tell her the truth or make something up? That's from Michelle in Crystal Palace.
Hey, Michelle. Do you know, when I was a youngster, I had a cat called Daisy that I used to sort of go everywhere with. And one time my sister sort of turned around and said, oh, when are we going to get a new cat? Like, because Daisy was a bit old. And I think like 2 days later, Daisy had left the house and, you know, some other kids found her in the woods and she passed away. I sort of think she died of a broken heart, but my parents told me that day and it sort of got me used to the fact that sort of death is a thing. I think it's, you know, we were talking about the other week about, I think it's sort of been honest, but also not making it too dark and too grisly. I think actually that's one of the blessings of sort of having pets or whatever is sort of acclimatizing the kid to the fact that, you know, we're not always going to be here on this mortal call. And, you know, maybe just saying that, you know, I can't remember what the cat was called, Makepeace or
Gizmo.
Oh, Gizmo. Yeah, Gizmo, you know, has moved on to a better place. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. You know, sort of she's going to be.
You're really putting a lot of thought into this advice, aren't you, Tom? No, so just so, you right. know, just tell your daughter the cat's moved on, blah blah blah.
No, right.
Get over it. Go, mortal coil.
Yeah,
etc. Yeah, etc. Well,
let's just call the kid Little Michelle. You're like Little Michelle. You know, Gizmo has passed on to a better place. She's far happier than she's ever been.
Where is she?
Well, that's a good question. She is in a place called Cat Heaven, where she's with all the other cats that have ever lived, like great cats, like Winston Churchill's cat and stuff. And she is just going to live, you know, she's there now. So she's, you know, running in the clouds and sweet as, you know, and eating all of the cat treats that she can. She's
Will I go to that place?
No. You'll go to human heaven, but you can go to cat heaven when you're in human heaven and sit and catch up with her then. So she's like, she'll be eating just sardines most whenever she wants them and fresh ones out of the sardine heaven live.
And when will I be able to see her again?
Well, it depends. Probably in sort of 70 to 90 years.
Why? Yeah. What happens then?
Well, then you'll also go to a better place. So, yeah.
I'll die?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the gist of what I'm getting to. But, you
will,
know.
Will you you'd die? Have
had, yeah. Probably in, I don't know, 60 to 70 years.
Will my friends die?
Well, yeah. I mean, all of the truth about life is.
Will my teachers die?
Yes, especially Mr. Phillips.
I've been a prick, but actually, I think you're probably right. Just
and don't make it too sad or too somber. Yeah.
No. But don't be too jolly. Equally, I must say.
Yeah, don't be too jolly. But I think, you know, just make your voice like this and sort of bring it down an octave or two.
Mm.
Hello. How are you doing? All right.
Why are you talking so funny and weird?
Because this is how I talk when I've got sad news, but also happy news.
Yeah, and then every time she hears that voice forever, she'll shit herself. This is slightly unrelated, but it just reminded me of the fact I used to really be into Garfield.
Oh, my God, I can imagine that, yeah. I actually genuinely can, like, it surprised me you haven't got a Garfield tattoo.
I was so into Garfield, I started eating lasagna just because he liked it.
But, like meat lasagna or veggie?
No, veggie. And then I went through a phase. I can't remember how old.
Do you know the sad thing? Oh. I just, what was it fucking dog you knocked around with?
Odie.
I'm basically your Odie. You're Garfield and I'm Odie. How pathetic is that?
That's what we should have called this.
Fucking hell. We're not gonna do
Lisa's John Arbuckle, the owner.
If we were going to do a cartoon or they were going to remake Garfield,
yeah,
I know they've done it recently, you would be Garfield and I'd be Odie. Did Odie even talk or did you just pant?
No, he just panted. It's one of those weird things where, well, actually, I mean, theoretically, Garfield didn't talk either, did he? It was sort of, it was thought bubbles, wasn't it?
You know, there are two most tragic fucking people in the world.
Who?
Odie and Tails from Sonic.
You don't like Tails from Sonic?
Oh, man, I felt so sorry for him.
Why?
I felt sorry for the animator who animated him.
Why?
He's just pointless, wasn't he? It's a two-player game, but if Sonic was so quick, you couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
There was nothing worse than going to your friend's house who had a Mega Drive, and they'd be, oh, we'll play two-player, and Sonic would be flying. They didn't have split screen at that time. I think later on you got a split screen, and you'd be, oh, just wait up for me, I'm Tails, I can't keep up. And then you'd just come flying into screen for a second, make two jumps, and Sonic would be off again.
Yeah.
Literally felt like a big mate on a fucking computer game, which is pretty much like my standing in fucking school anyway.
I've been playing this game called Shapes and Beats with Alex. And yeah. It's basically you're just this little square and this is like, it's all dance music. And every time a beat drops, it shoots out this different stuff. It's better than it sounds. And you have to just avoid it and work your way through it. Anyway, Alex is unbelievable at it. And he keeps asking to play it with me. And he told me today, it's the reason he enjoys playing it with me is because I'm so shit and get so stressed out.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. It's sort of something degrading about son just like enjoying playing with you because you look so pathetic playing. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, I was really into Garfield and I went through a phase. Oh, this is so, I feel so sorry for my parents. I went through a phase of whatever jacket I was wearing. This is so, I'm actually sort of slightly embarrassed. Like, whatever jacket I was wearing, I'd put a little toy Garfield in the top pocket of it. And
how old were you? Like 30, 14?
I think I was slightly younger than that, but old enough for it to be really tragic.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Fucking hell. Like that is, yeah.
I don't know. If Theo insisted on doing that when he went out and stuff to see his friend, I think Lisa and I had staged an intervention. I don't know what my parents... I remember like being going to like, we're about to go to a party and like my mum and dad sitting me down and going,
oh my God.
Maybe you should leave this maybe leave the Garfield home tonight. And then
you used to talk to it and stuff.
No, I don't think so. But I used to really be proud of having a Garfield head kind of sticking out of my top pocket. And then like people would sort of come up to me and go, why have you got that? And I go, I just really like Garfield.
Look, so you had it like a cravat?
Yeah, like a little pocket square.
Oh, my God. How long did you do that for? Like a couple of years, or?
I reckon, yeah.
So you're like 15 when you finished doing it?
Oh, no, I can't have been doing it at 15. I mean, fucking hell, I wouldn't have survived, would I?
That would have been so tragic. But you're into hip-hop, but you've got this... I mean, to be fair, if you're like... The rest of your clothes are pretty drippy. Like, if some of the cooler people in the world wore that, you go, oh, fucking hell, that's cool. It's just me and you haven't got that demeanour to carry that off without looking like... No.
I sort of wish I hadn't said that now. Anyway, okay, next email.
It's so sad.
It's so sad. Dear Wolf, Owl, Swan and Cat. This is from The Shark and the Fox.
Wow.
Love the podcast, really enjoyable. My girlfriend was recently at the petrol station putting fuel in the car when a guy approached her and said, I love you in that dress. Her initial reaction was to turn and light him up with the petrol, feeling like she was intimidated, which chance to be a fine thing these days. Am I right, guys? Topical. But instead, said thanks and turned away. He then walked on and went inside to pay for his own fuel. No further interaction took place. She spoke to me about this and we talked about whether anyone could give anyone an unsolicited compliment anymore or whether that was off limits in society. I think women maybe feel like there's an agenda to compliments, but if it is innocuous, then maybe it makes the world a friendlier place. Do you think there's still a place in the world to compliment strangers or should we just keep ourselves to ourselves? Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. It's quite a tricky one, this, isn't it, Tomo?
No, I don't think it's tricky. I think that's just weird, man. I'm sorry. I think like... I don't think it's... I don't think that's... Was his missus on her own?
I assume so, yeah.
Yeah. But personally, I think that's... Like, it might have come from a good place, but to what end? I think, like, I just think that there's something slightly sort of that might be a sort of whatever his intentions were. I think there's a world where that feels like quite almost like intimidating, or it can be quite. Yeah, I don't think that's right.
I agree with you, actually, on this specific incident. I do think that bloke sounds like a weirdo.
I think if you're going out, if me, you and Lisa and Kat went out for food, and I turned around and you turned around and went, oh, Lisa, you look lovely tonight or whatever, that's fine.
That's unacceptable. Oh, no, sorry, that's fine.
If there's a woman on her own, in some, especially somewhere like, you know, where she, it, you know, it's an intimidating place to be. You're in a car, he's in a car, you've then maybe got the fucking thought that he might follow you or some shit, right? When you say something like that.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
This episode is brought to you by Dove. You use all the right skincare products for your face, but your body has been missing out. With new Dove Serum Body Wash, you can give your body the vitamin C glow it's been wanting, the hydration boost it's been craving, and the active skincare ingredients it deserves. It's time for your body care era. New Dove Serum Body Wash. Get Dove or get FOMO.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
To what end do you mean it? To what end? Where's that coming from? So for me, it's like that's just, I think that's kind of creepy. And I think, and also, yeah, fair play to your missus for sort of like accepting it as being a sort of him doing it in a sort of credible, nice way. I bet he's a sort of fucking weirdo that fucking describes women as being beautiful creatures, and fucking he's just a creep. I don't vibe that.
Well, I think the wording of it's weird. I love you in that dress.
Yeah, especially if you've never seen that person.
I know. It's a bit
fucking weird, man.
It's a bit fucking weird.
Like, yeah. It's a bit And
my point is this, though. The reason I said, is this tricky, right, is that you constantly see, like, people like getting compliments, right? So, like, somebody goes, you know, I've seen it done in a much more innocent way on TikTok or whatever, on social media or whatever, where, like, somebody goes, hey, man, that outfit's sick, or whatever, like, you know, or you look great today, or something like that. You know, like, that feels a bit more innocent.
But you're not in there in a physical... There's not a physical world, right? Like, you know, I speak to my wife, I speak to female friends of mine, right? There's a world where, like, especially in this, you know, not to get too deep, but, you know, you've seen cases of things in the last year or so. When you're physically in a space and you're on your own as a woman, right, you don't need any other fucking way to feel more threatened. And whether that guy has come into this situation and meant it in a very genuine matter of what, you know, which would tell you that if he's meant it in a genuine way and he's a nice person, then he should have enough fucking thought and decency within himself to know that woman doesn't know anything about him apart from he's a random guy who's walked past her at a petrol station and said something like that, I really like you in that dress. That's also alarm bells. That's a day changer.
Yeah, you know, and then you know when blokes say, "So what? You can't even fucking compliment a woman anymore." Correct.
Yeah,
correct. It's a minor sacrifice to make for people to feel safe and comfortable.
You know what? Yeah? If you think someone looks nice, internalize it and think, "Yeah, well done to them. They look nice." Yeah.
Congratulate them in your head.
And you know what? Like, guys who have that way of thinking, who you know, without fucking generalizing, probably think, and I'm swearing a lot at the moment because it's something that ranks me out, but they have that thought about everything, and 90% of the time that they've got a superiority complex that they think, oh, I'm right, they're wrong. Man, like, I know myself that if that happened to Catherine, that would creep her out, man. That would weird her out, and that would make her feel vulnerable. So I think fucking shame on the guy who's done that, man.
The second part of this is, do you think there's still a place in the world to compliment strangers?
No. I think it's how... I have said
to people, to a bloke, I love your T-shirt. Or
I've said to another guy...
Or nice,
I've said,
trainers, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I've said that. That's all right, right?
I've said that, but I don't think I've ever said it in a situation where I've just walked past someone and said it. I've said it in a situation where we might have been... there might have been a bit of chat before. I just, for me, I just think it's the... I don't think it's any different from wolf whistling or it's objectifying someone. I think, like, from a man to a woman, especially, like I say, if you were to, you know, if the situation's a little, yeah, no, I just don't think it's cool. I think, yeah. I just think, look,
it's one of these things where it is more difficult to be a woman out and about than it is to be a man. That's a fact, right?
Yeah, and
you know, and we can talk about the problems and the reasons for that and why that's a shame. We can talk about all of that, but that is a fact. And when Lisa's out and about, I worry about her more than she has to worry about me when I'm out and about on my own, right? And that is just how life is. And so within that difference, we should all be doing whatever we can to not add to the discomfort of that situation. And however well-intentioned that is, I just think going up and talking to a stranger, full stop, a woman, it's probably not cool. No, do you know what I mean?
It's like, hello, pretty lady, you're a pretty dress, you look nice. Yeah. It's like, come on, man. Like, so I don't think there's any place for that. And I think there's a lot of, you know, I think there's a lot of men, and I think most men, that need to look at themselves and how that their behaviour fuels the way that women feel about, you know, going out and being out. It's, you know, even like people who look a certain, you know, if you give a certain look or a certain vibe, maybe, yeah, I think being married and sort of, especially Kat's very sort of vocal about that sort of stuff. And Catherine, we talk about it and she, you know, she sort of, she's an attractive girl, so she, when she's out, she's had that sort of, people do that kind of thing. And I think it's something that we should be teaching at a very young age. I mean, you're a brilliant father and you've got three young boys there. And I think it's that, and, you know, I know Lisa's a very strong woman. I think it's having that, making sure that the next generations don't think that that's, because, yeah, it's a small thing. It might just be completely innocent. But for me, it's there's always reasons behind that.
Mm.
Yeah, you don't just say that. We've gone deep at the end.
Thank you so much for your email, Shark and the Fox.
Thank you, Shark and Fox. It was a very good email.
Do you want to do one more quickie?
Let's do a quick one, baby.
Okay. Dear Wolf, Alan, Swan, loving the podcast. I've already got my wife and several friends into it. There are different stages of the episodes. Keep up the good work, you sweet, sweet souls. P.S. Tom, have you considered a perfumed soul insole business called Sweet, Sweet Souls?
Well, that's actually a really good idea.
After the debate about Mickey drips, I wanted to mention something that often plays on my mind, the curious case of TBS, or toxic ball syndrome, to give it the full title. Over the years, I've noticed that many perfectly good pairs of jeans and trousers are rendered useless by wearing away of the material around the gooch or bass area, just beneath where my gentleman's walnuts sit. I then have to throw them out unless I want some sort of ball patch sewn on. I just got on with life, assuming that I had some sort of toxic ball bags issue, until I mentioned it to work colleagues, discovered that one of their boyfriends had the same issue. Do me and him just have TBS, or have you experienced this? If so, how do we combat this terrible affliction? All the best, the Eagle.
Wow.
Tom, have you? Is this something that you've?
I don't think. I think toxic ball syndrome. I was thinking it was going to be something like a fucking really smelly pair of balls.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, this is, I think, pretty. Like, it happens a lot. I've gone through a number of pairs of jeans, favorite jeans, favorite trousers, where the wearing of it is just. I think it's like chafage. You're chafing around that area. Just, it's fucking, it's absolutely, you know what? One of the worst things that happened to me. So I had a pair of jeans that were on their last rites, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't realize quite how fucking worn they were around that area. And I was sprinting for a fucking train, like leathering it to get on this train. I fucking jump on the train, get on it. I find a seat. I sit there and I'm probably sitting there for about 15, 20 minutes. And I clock that the people opposite me, two lads are sort of like giggling to themselves and looking down. And then I noticed a bit of a chill around the old bollocks.
Yeah.
And I look down and the wearage is just fucking, they couldn't take the run. They couldn't take the excessive speed that I fucking put them through.
Yeah.
And they've completely just given way and my fucking underpants are on show. A pair of red underpants are on show. And yeah, number one, I was devastated because I loved those jeans. Was never able to replace them because they didn't do that fucking G-Star, didn't do that fucking vibe again. And also, it was the shame that I had of having to sit there with my legs crossed for that. Yeah, because even though I had my legs crossed, it was a little bit like you could still see a little bit of redness from the pants.
That's really sad. Really sad story. And then what did you do?
Well, I fucking sat there. Then I put, like, I luckily enough had a jacket. I put the jacket across my lap.
Okay.
Like a Duchess in the back of an old sort of, like, horse and cart.
Yeah. So you were sat there with kind of a like a shroud sort of over your legs.
Yeah. Sat there for an hour and 15 minutes like that. And then when I got off, I just had to get into a taxi and I said, look, please forgive me. My jeans have given way.
Oh. I had a thing once when I was a teacher, I had a brand new suit on. I think it was brand new. And, it wasn't a very nice suit.
Moss Bros? Was it Moss Bros?
I think it might be Next.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine you're the Next.
as the kids were about to come into the classroom, I stood up and the thread on the crotch of my trousers.
Oh, no, that's the worst one.
Sort of got caught on, like, the bit where the two of the desks meet.
And as sitting on a desk?
Because I was sort of...
Look, I just think you fucking outdone yourself with Garfield.
What do you mean?
You are sitting on the desk trying to be cool
I'm not sitting up on the desk.
Perched on the desk like David Brent in your new neck suit.
Oh, God. When you say it like that, it does sound pretty bad. But yeah, I was. As I stood up, the thread got caught and the entire crotch of my trousers just completely came apart.
Oh my God! What did and you like, do?
So from the back, just underneath the belt of my ass crack, right the way down to sort of my ball bag was completely open.
Oh my God, Jesus! Did you have to go to Lost Property and get a spare pair of trousers?
So what happened was that the lesson was starting, so and I wasn't exposed. It was just sort of my boxer shorts were exposed. So I let the class.
Oh yeah, what kind of fucking teacher doesn't wear pants to school?
Well, no, sometimes. On Thursdays, I wouldn't wear pants just because I wanted to see if that made me sort of more sort of thinking outside the box teacher.
But they respected you more.
Yeah, just had a bit more swagger about me. Anyway, I got the kids in and they obviously could see what was happening.
Oh my God.
And I said...
did you make a joke out of it at least?
I said to them, so this is a situation. I bought this new suit today. I was really proud of it. And then as you were coming in, I stood up. And the trousers are falling apart.
Where were you sitting on the desk, sir?
None of them said that. None of them said that. And then I said, you've got 5 minutes to ask me as many questions and make as many jokes as you like about this. And then we've got to get on with the lesson. And so then I just gave him like an amnesty to talk about it as much as they like for a bit.
So basically, what? And then you did the lesson and what essentially was a pair of chaps?
Yeah, basically, arseless chaps.
Jesus Christ.
they got it out of the system. No, they're totally fine. You know.
Yeah, I bet they were until they got home and their mum and dad. I thought the most shameful thing he could do was his beatboxing and rapping in maths class. But now he's like...
when he taught attempted to teach them adding fractions to the tune of Lose Yourself. I really did think that was a low point for Mr. Ranganathan.
It was weird because his trousers were ripped, but he kept on dropping his board wiper.
I mean, if you think about the facts of that, if they'd have decided to twist that, you know, suddenly I'm in court. So is it true, Mr. Ranganathan, you told the children that your trousers had just miraculously come apart as they walked in?
As you were sitting seductively on a desk. Oh, I forgot to wear any underpants today.
Anyway. Okay, look, Tom, it's about that time.
Wow.
Could you please take us out once again in your own inimitable style?
The world spins around and we all stand upon it, none of us really knowing that it's spinning. And we go along with life as it happens, just waking up every day. As the sun arises and going to bed, as the moon shows its wily face. We put on deodorant every morning. Some days we forget. But we sometimes don't remember actually why we're here. We sometimes don't integrate ourselves enough or talk enough or speak enough. Actually, the real meaning of life isn't the fact of just waking and going to sleep. It's achieving little things. And I'm not talking about climbing Everest every other day or learning a way of making maths work for you. I'm talking about making changes in other people's lives. Greeting someone with a smile or a general nod rather than saying something that ruins their day. My point is, consideration is important. Do something decent, but do it for other people rather than yourself. Rather than to your ends, do it for someone else's ends. Find an old person who might need some milk or some bread, or maybe even help someone's cat who hasn't got any sardines. Do things for others that you see fit for not doing to yourself. And just remember, all of us are needed, but not everyone's required.
That was really lovely, Tom. It's really, really nice. Okay, Tomo, thank you so much, brother. Are we doing a bonus ep again this week?
Mate, I'm here if you are, baby.
I'm here. I hope you enjoyed the bonus episode. Remember to email in with any issues, thoughts, suggestions, but please, not pictures.
As I always say, if it don't crunch, it ain't a proper lunch.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye. Peace out.
Bye. Peace.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.